Wonderful. Some of you weren't able to be with us on New Year's Eve, perhaps because of the weather, but we had a wonderful time here just celebrating God's goodness, God's presence through 2020. And as you all know, somewhere around 9 o'clock or so, it started to become freezing rain, almost as if 2020 wanted to give us one last push or something before it left. But praise God that He has brought us safely through. As Sean has indicated, we want to pursue the Son, that is, pursue Christ in 2021. And so as I've been praying over the last few weeks, I felt that I want to share for a little bit about the heart. Someone had asked me sometime last year, have you ever done a series on the heart? And I said, no, I've spoken about the heart in parts of different series, but never a series on the heart itself. This person wanted to get the notes and the tapes because of a certain situation that she was facing. And so that caused me to start to meditate and to think on this, on the heart. And so I want to share with us, this is going to be a short series, perhaps three parts or so, but I want to share about the heart with us this morning as we prepare to pursue the Son. So let us pray. Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your faithfulness to us. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you proved your faithfulness to us in 2020. And Lord, you remain faithful. Lord, we thank you that you have great things in store for us this year. Lord, we thank you for that simple word that was shared, that the Lord wants us to expect big things from him. And as we expect big things from him, to take simple steps and he would do the rest. And so, Lord, I pray that would resonate in each of our hearts and that, Lord, we would lift our faith higher. Lord, we lift our expectations higher. Lord, we'd again start to see you for who you really are and to believe you for big things. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for that reassurance, Lord, that you have revival in store for us, Lord, as a church, but also as a community, even as a nation. And so, Lord, we welcome from afar those promises. And Lord, we again decree and declare, O God, that our breakthrough is on the way. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the breakthrough, even as we go through different things that you want to break through in our presence, to be there with us in the midst of whatever we go through. Lord, this morning we ask you to continue to speak to us through your word. Father, I pray, O God, that every heart would be prepared, every heart would be ready to receive your word, which is able, O God, to change us and transform us. And Lord, I pray above all that Christ will be exalted even as your word comes forth. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. And amen. So this part, this first message I'm calling, guarding our heart. Guarding our heart. You know, as I was reflecting on this, I realized that last year being such a year of chaos, a year of turmoil, a year of so many different things from, you know, from the COVID-19 virus to political turmoil to racial issues. And when you went on social media, there was just so much anger and stuff just being put forth there. I realized that for myself that I didn't guard my heart as I should. And so different things have seeped into my heart. Different things that shouldn't have been there. And I realized if I'm going to seek God in 2021, if I'm going to go after the Son, then I have to make sure that I start by having the Lord, you know, deal with my heart. The psalmist says, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? But he that hath clean hands and a pure heart, was not, you know, given himself unto vanity. And so this is part of what is motivating me, is to say, Lord, in 2021, not only do I want you to purify my heart, but I want to guard my heart more carefully so that these things don't seep into my heart. And so I encourage you to do likewise. Turn with me, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs 4, and I'm going to read from verse 20. I'm reading from the NIV. The writer says, my son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them slip. Sorry, do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. So that's the first thing. We've got to keep God's word within our heart. Verse 22. For they are life to those who find them and health to a man's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart. For it is the wellspring of life. So the writer of the Proverbs say, above everything else, above all that you can do, he says, guard your heart. Because it is a wellspring of life. The things of life issue out from our hearts. Bubbles over. And impacts us and impacts situations around us. The first thing I have there is that is a scripture comes from Samuel where it talks about David, where God says, I look at the heart. People look at outward appearances, but God looks at the heart. God looks at my heart and your heart. And for that reason, we need to watch over it. We need to guard our hearts because the things that come out of our hearts will affect our lives and the lives of people, good and bad. And so the writer of Proverbs says, watch over your heart. Guard it. Protect it. Proverbs 12:25 says, an anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up. So when our heart is anxious, it weighs us down and affects the people who are around us. Proverbs 15:13 says, a happy heart makes the face cheerful, but heartache crushes the spirit. Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 17, verse 9, he says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And then the Lord goes on to say, I, the Lord, know the heart, and I watch over it, and I search it. So since we know that the heart is deceitful above all things, then we have to be careful. Naturally, that is. Thank God that as we have been born again, he has purified our hearts and cleansed us. But things still seep into our hearts and can lead us to deception. We can deceive our own selves or we can try and deceive others. But the heart is there. And sooner or later, if we take the time to think and to look and to listen, we realize that, some stuff needs to be uprooted out of my heart. Jesus, in his teachings in Matthew 12 and verse 33. I'm going to read that again for us. Matthew 12, verse 33. He says, make a tree good and its fruit will be good. Make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. So, verse 34 there, is a key verse. It says, for out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The King James Version, that's one I memorized the scripture from, said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. But when I hear the word abundance, it doesn't carry the same weight as the word overflow. Abundance, you know, suggests that you have a lot of things in there, good and bad, and things just pop up out of it. Overflow is a slightly different picture. The picture here is that a lot of stuff, good and bad, in our heart, till it fills up, and before you know it, it overflows through the things we say. So, you know what's in your heart, not by the individual things you say at this point in time, but over the consistency of what flows out of your mouth. It's flowing, it's an overflow. It's like a pot full of, that is boiling, it just bubbles over. And therefore, because it's in there and it's constantly overflowing, you can recognize it, the good and the bad. That's what Jesus says. So a good man, out of the abundance of the good things that are in him or her, good things flow out. You know, you don't have to, like, well, let me decide today to speak good. Let me decide today to, you know, say good things. That's not what Christ is saying. What Christ is saying is that because your heart is full of so much good, it just flows out. Even when bad things happen, it's good that flows out of your mouth. Not cursing, not swearing, but rather blessing. Rather things that are honorable, rather things that edify, things that encourage, because that's what is full in your heart. On the other side, if your heart is full of all the negative stuff, the pessimism, the swearing, the cursing, the divisiveness, and all those type of things, it will naturally flow out. Now we can add to that not just out of the things we say, but out of the things we put in social media. If over time we look at the things that people put in social media, it's flowing out of an abundance of what's in their heart. Good and bad. Encouragement or something to deal with, which means that we have the option of, therefore, watching our hearts, guarding our hearts, and uprooting some of the negative things and watering more of the positive things so that more good things grow and develop in our hearts so that it just flows naturally. You don't have to try and pretend, because the pretend is just what you're going to do right here on the spot. But what is really there is going to be seen over time. So we have the option of guarding our hearts. Matthew 12 verse 33 says this: make a tree good and its fruit will be good. Make a tree bad, and its fruit will be bad, for the tree is recognized by its fruit. I just read that, right? So I want Matthew 15, sorry. I want Matthew 15. Verse 7. You hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. Verse 11, what goes into a man's mouth does not make him unclean, but what comes out of his mouth, that is what makes him unclean. Then the disciples came to him and asked, do you know the Pharisees were offended when they heard this? He said, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by its roots. Verse 17, don't you see that whatever comes out of the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and these make a man unclean. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what make a man unclean, but eating with unwashed hands do not make him unclean. And so Christ took this thing a little bit further, because, you know, saying not only out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks, but he's saying out of the abundance of the heart come the thoughts, comes the actions that people do. It's more than just what we say, it's also what we do. So the heart then is like the foundation for our life. That's why the writer says it's a wellspring of life. It's become the foundation for our lives, and out of what is stored in there, our actions spring. All of what is stored in there, it's how we relate to other people. All of what is stored in there is even just how we live our lives, the good and the bad. So knowing that, we can stop and look at our lives and assess what's going on and say, Lord, uproot this thing because this thing is not good. And Lord, I want to water this thing because this thing is good, so that in my heart dwells more and more of the goodness, more and more of the grace, more and more of the love of Almighty God. These are scripture in Proverbs, among all these other scriptures that I've been meditating on. Proverbs 27 and verse 19. Proverbs 27 verse 19. It's a nice scripture to highlight in your Bible. Can we get to that? Proverbs 27, 19. A nice scripture to highlight, to color. It says, as water reflects a face, so a man's heart reflects the man. As water reflects a face, so a man's heart reflects the man. So what the writer of Proverbs is saying, just as we look in water, and you can see your reflection. So the way a man lives his life, the things that a person does reflects what's in his or her heart. As water reflects a face, so a man's heart reflects the man. Yes, what is here is from the newer version of the NIV. So a man's life reflects the heart. One of the things the programs I have at home of the 2011 NIV, but here we have an older version, so there have been some changes updated. So in order to help consistency, I've used the older NIV. But it says, as water reflects a man's face, so a man's heart reflects the man. Or as I have there from my newer NIV, so one's life reflects the heart, the way you live. The way you function is seen by how you live, reveals what's in your heart. So if we then treat people with love and compassion, it indicates that there's love and compassion in our hearts. If we respond with fear and anxiety, it tells me that our hearts are filled with fear and anxiety. If we respond with hatred and animosity, it tells me our hearts are filled with hatred and animosity. So the way we live, the things we do, the things we say, reveals what's stored up in our heart. It overflows. We can't help it. It's consistent. So if you look at someone who, for example, consistently tells lies, it tells that their heart is full of deceit. If you look at somebody who's consistently honest and trustworthy, it tells that their heart is full of honesty. It tells that it's a person of integrity. So then, again, comes back to me and to you saying, that means that we have a lot of responsibility to guard our hearts so that things don't seep in. And before you know it, we want to function one way, but we end up functioning another way because our hearts are filled with hatred and animosity. Instead, if we plant the good things, it will naturally overflow into a life that is consistent with God's word, into the love that we want to have, into the way in which we want to bring forth unity. Tremendous. So the thing is, our heart then gets input from all different sources, seeps into our heart. I put here, for example, the things we experience in life. These things affect our heart. And next week I want to share a lot more on that. I want to deal with bringing healing to our hearts. But just to say that if, for example, you were mistreated and abused and you have not been able to handle it properly, it is there deep in your heart and it's going to affect how you live. It's going to affect how you relate to people who remind you of the person or persons who mistreated you. Because it's there in your heart. You see? And but there's a God who is able to bring healing and deliverance. But we have to recognize that the Lord heal me and touch me. So, the things we experience in life affects what's in our heart. Somebody scam you of your money, you find it hard to trust people with your finances after that. And it goes right deep into your heart. The things that we see through our five senses, we see and we hear and watch, and we're participating, those things enter into our hearts too. If we're not careful, good and bad, and will spring back out. The enemy himself comes and plants things into our hearts. And that's why we also have to be on guard. This is what happened to Judas. It says that Satan came and planted in his heart. Satan, it says, already entered into the heart of Judas to betray Christ. Planted that thought, and Judas received it and meditated upon it and became the motivation for his actions after that. And so, you and I, as we are going about our life's business and thoughts come to us, we have to stop and say, where is that thought coming from? That's not from God. I'm not going to meditate upon it. I'm not going to think on it. I'm going to dispel it. So it doesn't find root in my heart. Even as I speak here, according to the parable of the sower, the effectiveness of the word depends upon the condition of our hearts. It's not so much upon how powerful the preacher speaks as much as the condition of our hearts. And so Jesus, in explaining the parable to his disciples, says the one upon where the seed fell by the wayside was the one who they received the word, but they didn't understand it. That's in Matthew 13. And if we read it, says, because they didn't understand it, the evil one, the devil, came and stole that word. That word on victory, that word on forgiveness, that word upon God's blessing, come and stole the word, and so they were unfruitful because of the condition of the heart. And then the other one, because there were other things growing up there when you plant your tomato plant, you watch over it to make sure that the weeds don't come and as it were choke the tomato plant. It's the same thing in our own hearts. The word of God is planted. You have to watch and make sure, say, the cares of this world, the way the world thinks, the way the world functions, the desires for riches, and those things don't come into our hearts and choke God's word. So you have to watch over your heart and say, no. All this stuff that's going around here, all this fear and anxiety from COVID, all this divisiveness, you know what? I'm going to tune out from that, because if I think on those things too much and read those things too much, it's going to affect my heart. And I want God's word of love, God's word of unity, God's word of faith to bring forth fruit in my life. So I'm going to watch over my heart and say, no. You might be fine for you, but not for me, because I need to protect my heart so God's word can bring forth fruit. The world, the flesh, all of these are inputs to our hearts that we need to watch over. And then, of course, we have God's word. The psalmist says, thy word have I hidden in my heart. Have I planted in my heart so I will not sin against you. So when God's word is planted in us, the word has within it the ability to bring forth fruit as long as the conditions are right, just like any seed. You plant your seed for your peppers, it has within it the potential to bring forth the tree and the fruit, but you still have to cultivate it. You still have to watch over it so that you get your peppers. So it's the same thing with God's word, that it's planted in our hearts. If it's there, it will bring forth fruit, but we still have to watch over it. So that's why so many believers hear God's word week after week, month after month, year after year, and don't benefit, because other things seep in and choke the word. Other things seep in and it just causes the word to it says there about the one soil with that stones, persecution come, trials and testings come, and they say, you know what, this don't make any sense. This word of believing that my God shall supply all of my needs, it doesn't make any sense. But when you have watched over your heart, spend time in God's presence, spend time meditating upon God's word, you'll find that there's a soil there to bring forth the fruit, the blessings from God's word. Tremendous. So what are some of the challenges of the heart? One challenge we had last year is to keep our hearts pure as well as healthy. Pure and healthy. Healthy because there's so many things that will come to make us sick. And we'll talk about this next time. One writer of Proverbs says that hope deferred makes the heart sick. So we have to know how to handle the hope that is deferred, or else your heart becomes sick. Yes, you're pure before God, but Lord, I'm sick. You see? So we have to ask the Lord to help us to keep our hearts pure and healthy. We have to consistently, like the psalmist, desire the Lord for himself. In Psalm 27, when the psalmist says he's going through all sort of stuff, but only one thing he desired. Psalm 27 verse 2 says, when evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, and my enemies and my foe attack me, his response is, they will stumble and fall. Because his heart is full of faith, not full of fear. So he says, though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. You see? Why? Because he has planted in his word the desire for God, the word of God, which therefore there's faith in his heart, and therefore when there's faith in your heart, it will arise when the circumstances occur. You see, some of us are waiting for the circumstance to occur, and then we try and have faith. By that time, you're already in panic, because what is full of in our hearts is panic and anxiety. But when the word of God is there, when you've been spending time in God's presence, then there's faith that arises when the circumstances come. When the enemy comes, faith arises and says, no, no, no enemy, I will have the victory. I'm going to declare victory because what? I know that my God is already victorious. So we can't wait until the circumstances come. We have to know when we're in this time, quote unquote, lull time, spend time in God's word, spend time in God's presence, water our hearts, ask the Lord to search our hearts so we can uproot some of the seeds that the enemy has planted in our hearts so that his word can bring forth fruit. The 27 verse 3 says, though an army beseech me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. This is what David is saying. Even if there's an all-out war against me, not even against me and my people, against me, he says, even then I'm going to be confident. We say, I'm going to slay giants. Well, you better make sure there's faith in your heart. Make sure you prove God now in the little circumstances so that when the giant comes, you say, giant, you are going to fall. And then he comes on verse 4 and says, one thing I ask of the Lord. One thing, after all of those things that he's talking about, he could have been asking, Lord, give me victory over the enemy. Lord, cause all of this, cause all of that. No, he said, no. I already know the end result of those things. I'm going to be victorious. Only one thing I'm asking of the Lord, and this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. That's awesome. So if you and if you and I have this approach, so that's the only thing I desire, Lord. I want to spend time in your presence. I want to gaze upon your beauty. I want to be with you. Then you know what? I don't have enough time now to be listening to this side and that side and what this one is saying and what that one is saying, because that's all distraction. All that just breeds fear and anxiety and worry. I'm going to go after the Lord. I'm going to seek his face. Verse 5 is what the psalmist says. For in the day of trouble, in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. So the psalmist is not waiting for the day of trouble to seek the Lord. What he's saying is that I'm going to seek him now, because I know that if I seek him now, when the time of trouble comes, I will be safe. When the time of trouble comes, he's going to find me in the shelter under the shadow of the Almighty. He's going to find me in his refuge. Verse 6, then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his tabernacle, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, O Lord, and be merciful to me and answer me.
My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. This is what the psalmist says. Something in my heart says, seek the face of the Lord. And the psalmist says, you know what, heart? I'm going to follow your leading. I'm going to seek God's face. I'm going to spend time in his presence. I'm going to allow his word to be planted in my heart. I'm going to allow him to show me the things in my heart that need to be uprooted so that the word of God and the things of God can bring forth fruit in my life. So David didn't just suddenly become a man of faith when he saw Goliath. No, he had been spending time with God. He had been walking with God. He had been proving God. And so it was an overflow of what was in his heart. So I put here in my notes that the condition of the heart will affect the effectiveness of the word. And our hearts can become hardened by sin. The writer of Hebrews says that. If you hear his voice, obey. Obey. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart, but listen and obey. Because if you harden your heart, then your heart becomes harder and harder for the word of God to seep in. But when you respond quickly, then your heart remains tender. The soil remains cultivated so the word of God can be planted and things can grow. So today, if God speaks to you, young people, if God spoke to you over the weekend, don't harden your heart, just obey. Just do it. Stop thinking through it, just do it. Yeah. I mean, Nike stole it from the Lord when Nike said, just do it. just do it. He didn't say, today if you hear his voice, think about it. That's what we do, you know. Oh, I wonder if that's good. Let me think about that for a moment. No, he didn't say, today if you hear his voice, think about it. Today if you hear his voice, obey him. Do it. So the condition of our heart can be revealed in many ways. The Holy Spirit and God will show us what's in our heart. He says, I am the one who knows the heart. And if we honestly come before him and say, Lord, search me. That's what the psalmist says in Psalm 139. You have searched me and you have known me. Search me, Lord, and show me the things that need to be uprooted. Show me the things that I need to just pull out of my heart right now. So that your word can grow, so the things of God can grow, so the good things of God can come to fruition. I put here external acts of worship. If you're worshiping God, that's what the Lord says to the Pharisees, but your heart not in it, then something tells you that, you know, you need to ask the Lord to touch your heart. Because true worship comes from the heart. It's more than just words. And so if we're already in his mouth in words and we're like, Lord, what's going on here? That's a sign that says to me and to you, we should say, Lord, touch my heart, soften my heart. It's not okay just to be to mouth in words and nothing's coming from within. It's not okay. True worship comes from deep within us. So that's a sign, and it has happened to me many times. You know, I think I'm okay, and then I go into a worship service, and I'm like, why am I just sitting here? And I have to speak to myself and say, soul, you better go and worship God. Lord, touch me and help me to worship you. A lack of compassion or empathy. Jesus spoke about the scribes and the Pharisees that in the temple there was a man who had a withered hand, and he was about to heal him, and they were just looking for a reason to accuse him. And the Bible says he looked around at them and he was angry because of the hardness of their hearts. When we become judgmental and cynical about the things of God, be careful. I warn people, don't listen to too much of these people who criticize God's church. It's God's church. And your business and my business is to pray for the church and to pursue God. And if we become too judgmental and cynical, then the enemy comes in and makes it harder for us to believe the word of God. That can be a sign that something is not right. I put here, when we're unmoved by the miracles of God, just like the Egyptian magicians, we're unmoved by the miracles of God, then it should tell us that, Lord, touch my heart. I should get excited again to see your hand at work. When there's pride and indifference to sin. When sin seems okay. Oh well, just another sin. That's a sign that something is wrong in our hearts. It happened in the Corinthian church. A man was having sexual relations with his mother-in-law and they were fine with it. And Paul says, you should have been grieving. So when the church reaches a point where, well, just another sin, something is wrong. When it happens to me as an individual, something is wrong. And I should say, Lord, touch my heart. Give me your heart, Lord, so I can see and feel how you feel about this thing. I'm going to ask Sean to come on back. We have a responsibility to guard our hearts. And God is the only one who can reveal the true condition of our hearts. And he's the only one who really can change our hearts. So like the psalmist David, when David's heart became hardened, he cried out to the Lord in Psalm 51 and said to the Lord, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. He cried out to God and asked God to touch his heart. Psalm 51 verse 17, it says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken, a contrite heart, God, you will not despise. He says, you know, if there's just offering of sacrifices of bulls and goats, I would do that. But God is not interested in those things when the heart is hardened. You see? And so he's saying, Lord, only you can give me this contrite heart. This heart that trembles at your word. This heart that longs for you. And so he cries unto the Lord and says, create in me that type of heart, oh God. So that I can keep going after you. Because by staying where I'm at, more and more the things around me will seep into my heart and it's going to become less and less responsive to you and more responsive to the things around. We've got to learn to hide his word in our hearts. Spend time in his word. The more you spend time in his word, it actually seeps in. It's the same way when you spend time just being involved in the secular stuff, the philosophies of this world. Those things seep in. So the more you spend time in God's word, it seeps into your own spirit. So spend more time in his word. Spend time just in his presence. I put here in my notes, replace some of the negative input, the negative things that we have been watching and listening to, all of the discord that comes from this side and from that side. Doesn't change anything out there, just affects us. Change those inputs and listen to more positive things, things that are more in line with God's word, things that have faith and build your faith. Let us stand. The Lord said to the Ephesian church in Revelation chapter 2, says, I like some things about you. You know, you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans. You hate these other things. But there's still one little thing. You know, still one little thing the Lord said to the Ephesian church. You know, so sometimes everything seems all right. You're doing the right things, whatever. But there's still one little thing the Lord says. You have left your first love. You know, the tenderness towards me. The desire for me, you have left it. And so the Lord said to them, you have to change your mind, change your way of functioning. Repent and do the things you did at first. Seek after me as you did at first. Go after the Lord as you did at first. And he says, if you don't, it shows you how the Lord sees it. I'll come and remove the lampstand from your very presence. I mean, in the natural, I'd be like, Lord, that's so serious of an action just for leaving first love. I mean, wouldn't it be all right? But the Lord is like, no. You see, you can do all of those things. You can hate all of the sins out there. You can hate the people who do abortion. You can, or the abortion act, it says, let me put it this way. You can hate the act of abortion. You can hate the homosexual agenda. You can do all of these things. But without that first love, all you are is just some sort of political activist group. Just some nice social group. You see, but when the love of God is there, when you're desiring God, that's what makes all the difference. And so the church of God needs to be a people who love God's presence, who desire the Lord. And it's out of that that we do everything else. But not just taking stand reason. That's not enough. So he says to return to that place of first love. And so this morning, as we're here in God's presence, the start of a new year, pursuing the Son. We're going to ask the Lord to search us and show us the things that we need to uproot out of our lives. We're going to ask the Lord to give us contrite heart again. We're going to ask the Lord to take us back to that place of first love. So as we're here, we're going to open these altars for those who want to step forward and come to these altars. Just leave a little space between yourself and somebody else. I'd encourage you to come. Some of you can stay in your seat, that's all right too. But I think we need to, in some tangible way, respond to the Lord. So even as Sean plays quietly, I'm going to urge you to respond to the Lord. Come up here if you need to, or if you want to. Stay in your seat, but in some tangible way, ask the Lord to search your heart. Ask the Lord to touch you again, make you contrite again, desirous for Him again more than everything else. Ask the Lord to restore that first love, that compassion for Him. So now is your time to respond. Come on up, those who want to come on up. It's all right. Never to leave some space between you and somebody else. It's fine.
Yourself to the Lord, or submit yourself to Him for the first time. I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand right where you're at. Anybody who needs to recommit themselves to the Lord this morning, or give Him your life for the first time. Anybody in this house?
From thy presence, oh
let's just sing this song to the Lord.
Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy.
That's the cry of our hearts. That, Lord, you'd search us and show us the things that we need to uproot out of our hearts and the things that we need to water, the things that we need to fertilize, which are the things that you have planted there, so that they bring forth fruit. Lord, help us not to be like Ananias and Sapphira, who allowed the devil to plant lies in their hearts that they tried to deceive the apostles. But Lord, instead, help us to respond to the truth of your Spirit, the promptings of your Spirit, the leadings of your Spirit. Help us, O God, as the writer of Hebrews says, if we hear your voice, to respond. Not to say, tomorrow I'll respond, but to respond there on the spot. Because, Lord, we know the enemy will come and snatch your word from us by tomorrow. And so, Lord, we thank you. We thank you, oh Lord, you are the one who speaks to us. You are the one who draws us. Lord, I ask for each of us that you might help us to return to that place of first love. Our first and really, Lord, our only love. Our love for you, our love for your word, our love for your presence. Father, fill us afresh with that desire, Lord. Like the psalmist, that we might indeed say only one thing we desire, Lord, and that is to be in your presence. Lord, help us to have our hearts so filled with confidence, filled with faith, that, Father, when we see circumstances, it just overflows out of our mouth, the faith declarations. Lord, we don't have to try and force ourselves to believe it. Lord, we don't have to try and make it up. But, Lord, we just speak out of the abundance of our heart, oh God, to the circumstances, Lord, you said. If we speak to the mountain and not doubt in our heart, it shall be accomplished. And Lord, may our hearts be so filled with the love of God. May it be so filled with the word of God. May it be so filled, oh God, of faith. That Lord, when we live, the way we live our lives, it becomes evident that we are people of faith. When we speak, it becomes evident that we are people of faith and people of love. And so Lord, one of the things we ask you to help us to do this year in 2021 is to guard our hearts. Help us, Lord, to guard our hearts, we pray. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, and everyone said, and amen. The Lord bless you. You're dismissed.
They've been here. The one here today, he'll be here next week. Sure, yeah. Let's have grandma for dinner. I think tried on my thing. I don't know if that works really well. Almost wonder if we need to at least have this. Here's my, you know what I mean? And then, and that may be just meeting here to where we're.
You know, can I tell you though, last year you were stuck. I got
with
me too.
But I met you
rotation, you know, that stuff. At first I thought you met me too.
Well, I think I probably, and